ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। श्रृण्वतां स्वकथा कृष्णा पुण्यश्रवण कीर्तना हृदयंतस्थोय भद्राणि विधुनोति सुहृत्सताम्। हरे कृष्णा। So we are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 24, entitled Worshipping Govardhan Hill, text number 13. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Karmana Jayate Jantuhu Karmana Eva प्रलीयते सुखम दुखम भयम क्षेमम कर्मणा एव अभिपद्यते। कर्मणा श्री भगवान उवाच कर्मणा जायते जन्तुः कर्मणैव प्रलीयते सुखम दुखम भयम क्षेमम कर्मणैव अभिपद्यते। श्री भगवान उवाच कर्मणा जायते जन्तुः कर्मणैव प्रलीयते सुखम दुखम भयम क्षेमम कर्मणैव अभिपद्यते। श्री भगवान उवाच कर्मणा जायते जन्तुः कर्मणैव प्रलीयते सुखम दुखम भयम क्षेमम कर्मणैव अभिपद्यते। प्लीज रिपीट। कर्मणा जायते जन्तुः कर्मणैव प्रलीयते सुखं दुःखं भयं क्षेमं कर्मणैव अभिपद्यते। श्री भगवान उवाच कर्मणा जायते जन्तुः कर्मणैव प्रलीयते सुखं दुःखं भयं क्षेमं कर्मणैव अभिपद्यते। श्री भगवान उवाच कर्मणा जायते जन्तुः कर्मणैव प्रलीयते सुखं दुःखं भयं क्षेमं कर्मणैव अभिपद्यते। मताजी श्री भगवान उवाच कर्मणा जायते जन्तुः कर्मणैव प्रलीयते सुखं दुःखं भयं क्षेमं कर्मणैवाभिपद्यते। श्री भगवान उवाच कर्मणा जायते जन्तुः कर्मणैव प्रलीयते वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन श्री भगवान उवाच द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड सेड कर्मणा बाय द फोर्स ऑफ कर्म जायते टेक्स बर्थ जंतुः द लिविंग एंटिटी कर्मणा बाय कर्म एव अलोन प्रलीयते ही मीट्स हिज डिस्ट्रक्शन सुखम हैप्पीनेस दुखम अनहैप्पीनेस भयम फियर क्षेमम सिक्योरिटी कर्मणा एव बाय कर्म अलोन अभिपद्यते आर ऑब्टेन्ड ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट लॉर्ड कृष्णा सेड इट इज बाय द फोर्स ऑफ कर्म that a living entity takes birth and it is by karma alone that he meets his destruction his happiness distress fear and sense of security all arise as the effects of karma purport lord krishna minimized the importance of the demigods by speaking the philosophy known as karmavad or karma mimamsa which basically is atheism with a belief in reincarnation. According to this philosophy, there are certain laws of nature that reward or punish us according to how we act. As you sow, so shall you reap. In a future life, one reaps the fruit of his present work, and this is the sum and substance of reality. Lord Krishna, being God himself, could hardly be a serious proponent of this mediocre philosophy. In the role of a young boy, he was simply teasing his pure devotees by preaching it. Srila Jiv Goswami points out that Lord Krishna was thinking, why are these eternal associates of mine appearing as my father and other relatives and friends so caught up with this worship of Indra? Thus, although the Lord's main purpose was to take away the false pride of Indra, he also wanted to remind his eternal devotees that they need not divert their attention to other so-called gods, since in fact his devotees were already living with the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Almighty Lord Himself. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha श्री चैतन्य मनोभिष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्री गुरु श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्री गुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपं सागरजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितां तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Lord Krishna said, "It is by the force of karma that a living entity takes birth, and it is by karma alone that he meets his destruction. His happiness, distress, fear and sense of security all arise as the effects of karma." Hare Krishna. So first of all, I take blessings of all the senior devotees who are sitting here, that I can speak something for my purification. Here in this chapter, we see that one of the most wonderful things is going to be enacted, that is worshipping the Govardhan Hill, and then in the later chapter, Lord Krishna himself lifts the Govardhan Hill. So this is one of the most interesting pastimes of the Lord, because as we were hearing since last few days, at least from Saturday and Sunday, His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj was speaking on the glories of Srimati Radharani. So he was telling that before Lord Krishna enacted his pastimes with his intimate devotees, that is the gopis, he enacted this pastime of lifting the Govardhan Hill. So Krishna, he is by the name itself, Krishna is the most attractive, and he even attracts those who want to criticize him. So many of the people these days, they want to imitate the Lord, and they even criticize for his otherwise seemingly, from mundane morality point of view, not very moral activities. So here Krishna is and also for those who want to, they accept that part, that Krishna played with so many gopis. But when we ask them that this is also there, so they say, "Oh, this is, how can it be possible?" So it's like, accepting the half logic, half hand logic. Accept something which is, you want to accept, and reject something which you don't want. So here Krishna is actually posing a challenge to everyone. That you want to imitate that, then try this first. So as in a very joking manner, Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj was saying that before becoming Gopijan Vallabh, Krishna was Girivardhari. Forget about Girivardhari, at least try to become Tabledhari. So we see that however, whatever pastimes Krishna enacts, Lord Krishna enacts, they are all very wonderful. And most of the times, for those who are not with proper fund of knowledge, they are very bewildering. So yes, they are bewildering to us, but for the Lord, it is just, by the way, He is doing so many things. So we were reading, one of the verses appears in Garga Samhita. It says that Yatha natah svalilayam mohito na parastatha anye drishtva chatan maya mumuhuste muhur muhu. That when a magician plays some magical tricks, the audience, they get bewildered. Sometimes, it is described even in so many commentaries by the previous acharyas. They say, they give example that, how some certain magician, in front of everybody, he dies by cutting his body or whatever, and then from backstage again he comes. So people get bewildered by seeing the magical tricks of the magician. But the magician, it is, everything is daaye haath ka khel, his left hand work. So similarly, whatever activities of the Lord that he enacts, they are very, very wonderful. But for those, and they are enacted through his yoga maya potency, but for those who are not favorably inclined towards the Lord, they get bewildered by his activities, and sometimes even the devotees get bewildered. So one may say that practically all the incarnations of the Lord, they have that bewildering, so many bewildering pastimes of the Lord. So why, if all these activities are like that, why does he appear? Why comes to bewilder? So what is the purpose of the Lord coming to take incarnations, you know, coming, taking so many incarnations? So there itself, it is said that he comes to protect. Says, Go sadhu devata vipra vedanam rakshanayacha. Tanum dhatte hari sakshad bhagavan atma viliyade. Atma lilaya. That to protect the cows, his devotees, the demigods, the Brahmanical culture and the Vedas, the Lord appears in so many of his incarnations. So here we see, as in the purport it is stated, that Lord Krishna here, in this pastime of worshipping the Govardhan Hill, he wanted to protect Indra. That was the primary motivation of the Lord in enacting this pastime. So we see in the previous verses that you know, all the cowherd men of Vrindavan, especially Nanda Maharaj, they are all engaged in preparing for a yagya with very, you know, on a very huge scale. And Krishna and Balram, they see, and you know, the verses mention that they know what is going on, but they want to, you know, understand what is the motivation of these coward boys, why they are doing this yagya. So act as if they don't know. And they very submissively inquire, what is this all preparation? What is this yagya? What is the fruit? Who is the deity? How it is performed? So many questions they ask. To show that our inquiry is serious, that we need some answer. And then Indra, he says that, you know, this is a ritualistic yagya we are doing from tradition for many years. And this yagya is performed after the monsoon ends. So to thank Indra, thank you for the good monsoon, and we do the yagya. So this Govardhan worship, it comes in Kartik, so it is after the Chaturmas. So Krishna sees that actually there is no need for Indra to be worshipped, because he is just discharging his duty on the order of the Lord. So he is not independent actor, but he is acting under the instructions of the Lord. So why there is any need for worshipping him? And then he sees that actually with this worship, Lord Indra is becoming very proud. Now who is Lord Indra? Lord Indra is his devotee whom he has given some administrative and managerial responsibilities for the whole universe. So here putting himself, Lord Krishna putting himself in the seat of the manager, of this manager, he says that, okay, for the functions to be done properly, no, I have to take care of him. I have to protect him, curb his false ego. Otherwise, sometimes managers, when they understand that they have so many powers, then many actions are done whimsically. So to avoid that whimsical action, sometimes the super chief has to do something. So primarily Lord Krishna enacted this to protect Lord Indra. And in that, he is also giving lesson to everybody, to all the other demigods and to all the living entities also. And then, as this verse mentions, that later he will also enact the lifting of Govardhan Hill to protect the cows and all the devotees in Vraj. And here we see that just in one action, Lord Krishna is trying to do so many things. So that is his expertise, and that is his, brilliance of the Lord. So he is so expert that just by doing one action, so many, you know, purposes are solved. So one of the verses it says, Paripurnatama Sakshad Shri Krishna Nanya Evahi. That the most complete and original Lord is Shri Krishna and no one else. And it says, Ek Karyarthe Agatya Koti Karyam Chakaraha. That he comes for one action, for one reason, but then he accomplishes millions of missions. So, we have all heard this Govardhan pastime many times previously. So let us analyze. You can also participate. That just by this pastime of lifting the Govardhan hill, what all purposes are solved by the Lord? So one or two we already discussed. Like one of the purposes is that Lord Krishna bewilders the unfaithful. That he bewilders by his activities so that those who are not faithful or those who don't have any faith in the Lord or those who have a lot of envy basically towards the Lord. So they will get sidelined, you know, they will not give much care to the Lord. So there is no need for their purification. They go into, you know, as Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that they are cast into hell forever. So one of the purposes by doing all these activities is that he wants to bewilder so that only those who have love for him and want to serve him, they come to him. Sometimes we see that, certain positions which come up, you know, in some organization. So in the advertisement, they write very high qualifications or very high level of competency required. So that those who will come anyway just to give a try of their luck, they will be avoided. You know? So only those who are really serious will come. So similarly, Lord Krishna's activities, although he is coming as a human being and seemingly ordinary, but then many of his activities are super extraordinary. Right? So, for those who are not very serious in spiritual life, they'll get bewildered and they'll make some offenses or they'll be, you know, basically become atheist or sarcastic. They will not come. So, for the fools, they feel, oh, this lifting Govardhan hill, impossible. And this is nonsense. This is all mythology. Okay? So, we don't take care of it. We don't give any care for it. And in the same pastime now, in this verse, he is propagating the Karma Mimamsa philosophy, which again, you know, the purport says, which is coming from the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that Karma Mimamsa is basically covered atheism. So those who are scholarly, those who are just philosophical bent of mind, they just want to philosophize but not do any activity, you know, service. So they will get bewildered by that and they will just sidetrack themselves. So another thing, another mission that Lord Krishna accomplishes is that he protects the cows and the devotees. That also we discussed. And also he comes to protect, enacts this pastime to protect Lord Indra, so that he does not become unnecessarily proud. Any other, you feel, any other purpose that Lord Krishna is solving by this pastime? Yes. He brings all the Brajvasis together. So we have heard in the previous chapters that how when Lord Krishna went to the forest, so the cows and the gopas, they would be very jubilant. They would be waiting for the sun to rise so that they could come with the Lord in the forest. And that time, the gopis would be in intense separation. The mothers, the elderly gopis, they would be feeling, you know, maternal affection. They would feel that, you know, some thorn or pebble should not prickle his feet, like that. So when the gopas were enjoying, the gopis, the elderly gopas and gopis, they were in separation. And when he would come back, then the gopas and the cowherd cows and the calves, they would be in separation. They would be waiting for the next day. And the elderly gopis and they would be happy. So no one was getting attention at the same time. Or it was not continuous. It was, you know, with some breaks. But here, as Guru Gaurang Prabhu mentioned, that all the devotees came together for next 7 days, 24 hours. So, you know, that was the first 24/7. Lord is giving darshan. Yes, thank you. Any other? Yeah, so you wanted to reciprocate with Govardhan Hill, as in future verses we'll see that he is glorified as the best of devotees, giving so many facilities for the Lord's pastimes. So you wanted to reciprocate by lifting Govardhan Hill, and we hear that, we'll read that even Govardhan Hill was jubilant when he was picked up by the Lord. Yes, thank you. Any other purpose? Yeah. So, as Prabhuji mentioned that, you know, Krishna wanted to reciprocate with the feelings of all the gopis, the elderly gopis, that Krishna would go in the forest and play flute and they would not hear. It is mentioned that Krishna has different notes which he plays. So some notes he plays that only the cows hear, their respective names. Some notes are there which only, you know, the elderly gopis, the mothers, they would hear. Some notes are there which, you know, make the moving things still and still things moving. And there is a particular note which only Srimati Radharani heard. So yes, here, at the same time, he was reciprocating with the feelings of all of them. All the devotees of all different classes, they were there. Right from very small toddler children, gopas, to the his same age gopas, elderly, the gopis, the cows, the calves. And at the same time, he was reciprocating with the love of all the devotees. So, again, that is the first time multitasking he was doing. He always does, but you know, here we see. At the same time, he was able to satisfy everyone. Yes, any other? Thank you. Nice point. Any other? Of course, we have a limitation. There are so many purposes that Krishna solves. We may not be able to remember or figure out all of them. Few I could think of is one of that Krishna, by enacting this pastime, he left behind evidence for all of us that Krishna was there 5,000 years back. And this is the same Govardhan Hill which he had lifted. And all the different places of pastimes which the Lord had, they are still there. In fact, there is one of the forests, it is called as Pravishtavan. In local language, it is called Paitha. That is the same place where the Lord entered into one cave to lift the Govardhan Hill. And that cave still exists. Of course, the entry is blocked because the Govardhan over the years has shrunk so much. So, yes, he left behind the evidence for all of us to have that faith that Krishna was there. All his places of pastimes are there. It is not just mythology, as few fools they think. And not just that, he also gave, by this pastime, a chance of purification for everybody, which is very easy. It is said that just by circumambulating the Govardhan Hill once, while chanting the holy names of the Lord. Or even if one does without understanding, he gets purified of all his sinful reactions. Just by seeing the Govardhan Hill, who is non-different than the Lord, and there is a purificatory, experience that one goes through. And as we mentioned earlier, that Krishna also left behind a challenge for the Sahajiyas, that, you know, if they want to imitate the Lord, then imitate this pastime first, then the future pastimes which will come in the next few chapters. So Krishna, by this pastime, he also accomplished so many activities, so many purposes that he wants to, you know, fulfill. And we see that in this particular verse, Lord Krishna is speaking about the importance and a high regard he is giving to karma, karmavad. He is propagating just do your action, just be good and do good, and everything will be all right. So here he is, although the purport, and you know, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says that it is a atheistic philosophy. So one may say that Lord Krishna is speaking, so it should be, you know, sacrosanct. It should be the, as they say, Veda Vakya. It has to be followed. So we understand that in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is presented in a format of dialogues between so many different devotees and different personalities. So many of the verses which are spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they have to be taken with reference to context. In what context, for what purpose they have been spoken. Just like we see, there are some verses wherein King Vena is chastising Brahmanas and he is saying that there is no need to worship any god, but just the king, because he is representing the whole, you know, all the demigods and even the Lord. So, yes, it is true to some extent, but it cannot be taken as absolute. Reference to context has to be seen. With these statements, the Brahmana has actually killed Vena. And then we even see Hiranyakashipu in the 7th canto speaking high philosophy on the life and even the death. But then we see that philosophy did not help him. He, after speaking all that philosophy, wanted to become eternal. So, whenever we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, so, and any Vedic literature, so it has to be done under proper guidance and with faith. So, it is said that Acharyavan Purusha Veda, that Vedas are revealed to those who have Acharya, who have a spiritual master and who follow his instructions. So, you know, all the activities of the Lord which are described in Srimad Bhagavatam and in supplementary Vedic literatures, it is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that all these pastimes of the Lord, they are alaukika leela e parama nigud, that all these pastimes are transcendental, they are not ordinary, and they are very, very deep and esoteric. Vishwase paiye tarke hai bahudur, and they have to be understood with proper faith, under proper guidance. But if we just try to understand with dry logic and argumentation, then we will be far away from the pastimes, and those things will not be revealed to us. So, you know, we see that, you know, Vedavyas, he has given all these Vedic literatures. We hear in Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, right in the beginning, in the first canto, that as the Kali Yuga is approaching, so he gives the Vedas in written form, and he divides for proper understanding in so many different sections, the four Vedas, and then so many Upanishads, Puranas, supplementary literatures like that. And then he also gives six systems of philosophy by which to understand these Vedic literatures. So, you know, in contemporary terms, if we want to understand, so it's like, you know, in computer terms, you know, all the information is just in binary. If we reduce it, it is just 0 and 1. So, all the knowledge is basically just that whether you want to accept Krishna or you don't want to accept Krishna. You know, it is mentioned that, you know, the living entity comes into this world just to lord it over the material nature, just to become the Lord. So whether we accept the Lord or we don't accept the Lord, that is the primary thing. So the whole knowledge is based on this particular thing. And then so much of information is there, but to process that information we need some system. So I was just hearing yesterday one devotee was mentioning that thank God, there are very few intelligent people on this earth now. There are only three operating systems in computers. Just Windows, Macintosh and Linux. He's saying that still there is so much of confusion. People think whether to have this or that, and there is always conflict. So if there were so many, then people would be confused. But here we see Vedavyas right in the beginning. To process all this Vedic knowledge, he employed or he instructed his disciples, five of them, to formulate these systems of philosophy to understand the Vedic literatures. So these Shad Darshan, as they say, so one of them is Karma Mimamsa. So many times the, you know, scholars, those who are educationalists, those who just do some philosophizing, so they give lot of importance to all this, you know. And it is also necessary that, you know, in the preaching mission, when we have to preach, so we also should have some idea of all these things, of all these systems. As Srila Prabhupada himself states in the first canto, that devotee should know to some extent, you know, these six systems of philosophy. So these six systems of philosophy are, first is Nyaya, which is the process of understanding things by logic and argument. And then there are so many principles, how one can argue, how one has to avoid, you know, how to derive conclusion, like that. So we'll not go into details, it's a vast subject and very confusing and very technical. So I'll just mention that he instructed his disciple Gautam to write and to, you know, do research on Nyaya. And then Kanad he did on Vaisheshika, so that is a second system of philosophy. And Sankhya, or the analysis of the material elements which compose, you know, this whole universe, that was done by Kapil. And Yoga, or the system wherein, you know, one practices self-control and, you know, step by step higher, you know, to the point of samadhi or concentration by Patanjali. And Jaimini, he wrote about Karma Mimamsa. And then the last system, that is Vedanta, was reserved by Vyasdev himself. So Karma Mimamsa and Vedanta, they are also called as Purva Mimamsa and Uttar Mimamsa. Purva Mimamsa means Mimamsa basically means to analyze things and to understand them. And karma is the, you know, work which has reaction, whether good or bad. So Karma Mimamsa basically deals with what type of action should be done, how they should be done. And the goal of Karma Mimamsa is how to utilize the dharma which is described in all the Vedic literatures to get artha, that is to, you know, satisfy the desire for having wealth, so that can be used in satisfying the senses, that is kama. So the goal of karma mimamsa is just that, how to expertly, effectively enjoy the senses while following dharma by using the Vedic dharma as a tool. But then the Vedanta, it takes one step ahead. That's why it is called Uttar Mimamsa, or the final or the conclusive understanding. That is how one has to come out of the cycle of birth and death. Because no matter how much you try to enjoy, you will never be happy. You will never be able to enjoy, because the nature of the soul is that it is part and parcel of the Lord. So these are the six systems of philosophy that are explained. And the problem with this karma mimamsa is that it describes the whole Vedic teachings as a mechanistic science, that you perform certain rituals and you will get the benefit. So that's what Lord Krishna is saying here, that the birth, the death, the sense of security, happiness, everything is dependent on karma. So karma mimamsa teaches death. But when Vyasadeva, he gave Vedanta, so all these previous five systems, they have flaws. And in Vedanta, Vyasadeva systematically defies all the flaws and gives correct understanding. So here he says that if that is the case, if just by performing action you get result, there should be someone who is giving result. So you just have to not just concentrate on good work, but also think about person who is giving that reaction. So that's how it takes, the Vedanta takes one further and more closer to understanding Param Brahma or the Supreme Absolute Truth, like that. But then we see that Vyasadeva was not satisfied with that also. And that's why he gave a commentary on Vedanta also to clarify things that he has said there, and that is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is like the essence of all the Vedic literature. So if we say that, you know, Vedic literature is like milk, so Srimad Bhagavatam is like the ghee. There is no more purification required to ghee. It is the final product, you know, the most purified substance obtained from ghee. So we see that how this, as explained here, that, you know, Lord Krishna is propagating this, but he is not a serious propounder of this karma mimamsa philosophy. That we see that in Srimad Bhagavad Gita itself, in the 18th chapter, Krishna says that five factors are responsible for execution of any work, any action. Five factors are responsible. And he describes that, you know, the body, the performer, the tools for performing action, the desire. But the fifth factor is the super soul, Daiva Chaivatra Panchamam. So if the Lord's intervention is not there, then a person's, you know, action will not be complete. Any action, desire to do any action, that action will never be complete without the fifth factor. And then in Bhagavad Gita even says that those who just think, without disregarding the fifth factor, that we are responsible for our action, he says that they are foolish. So Krishna is defying this philosophy. So this is not a, this verse should not be taken absolute in that sense. That's why it is written even by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that this is a atheistic philosophy. And then Jiva Goswami, in the purport, he writes in his commentary that why Krishna was speaking like this? Just to tease his devotees. Sometimes we say, you know, just to tease. We say so many things, but they are not very serious, right? So just to tease his devotees, Lord Krishna is saying that why you have to do all these things? Just do good karma and everything will be done. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says here, you know, thus, although the Lord's main purpose was to take away the false pride of Indra, he also wanted to remind his eternal devotees that they need not divert their attention to so-called demigods. So the main purpose, one of the purposes also was, while speaking these philosophy, is that when you have Lord Krishna himself, then you don't have to go anywhere else. You know, when you have, they say that, you know, basically when you have the person who is the supreme controller, then you don't have to go to subordinates, subordinate controllers, because they all are acting under his order. So, to emphasize that, Lord Krishna spoke like this. And we see that sometimes, you know, even devotees, they have these kind of, you know, different desires that come because, you know, we are in the material world. So, to give that, you know, instruction or the lesson to the devotees also by this pastime, that we need not get diverted with all this Vedic flowery language of different yajnas to appease this demigod or that demigod. If we just do this Sankirtan yajna properly, then everything is, you know, when we just serve the Lord, then all the actions are perfected. There is a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, we had recently visited Vrindavan. So, we also saw that, you know, sometimes, just like here, Nanda Maharaj and other devotees, they also develop so many desires that let us go to this place because it is said that, you know, if we bathe in Triveni, in Prayag, then we'll get purified. So let us go there. So when Krishna sees this, so again, he enacts so many pastimes. That is, you know, the pastime of Pavan Sarovar. And then all the different spiritual places, you know, the dhams, they are actually residing in Sri Vrindavan Dham. So, you know, for all those devotees who will be coming to Vrindavan, you know, there are places like Badrinath, Kedarnath, Gomati Ganga, this Pavan Sarovar, which is considered as, you know, Prayagraj himself was coming to take bath there. So, Krishna, by his different pastimes, he tries to remind his devotees, as Srila Jiva Goswami is pointing out here, that there is no need to worship any other person except him. So, today is also the, you know, very auspicious day of you know, Sita Thakurani, that is the consort of Sri Advaita Acharya. So in the last 5 minutes, we'll try to speak something about her glories also. So Sita Thakurani, it is mentioned in the Gaur Ganodesh Dipika that she is an incarnation of Purnamasi, who was in, you know, the Vrindavan pastimes. And she comes as the wife of Advaita Acharya. And she has a very, very motherly disposition towards Lord Chaitanya. So she is like, also like Sachi Devi in maternal affection towards the Lord. In fact, it is described that when Lord Chaitanya was born, Sita Thakurani gave him the name Nimai. So the name Nimai was given to the Lord by Sita Thakurani to protect the child from influence of any evil spirits and ghosts. Because it is considered that neem, anyway, it is very antiseptic. It also repels all these, you know, evil spirits. So she gave the name Nimai so that when everybody calls him Nimai, so no evil spirits will influence the child. And while Sachi Devi is, Sachi Mata is, you know, taking care of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and raising him up, so Sita Thakurani would also give a lot of friendly guidance and advices on how to raise Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how to take care of him. In fact, Advaita Acharya had two houses. One was in Shantipur and another in Mayapur. So after the birth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Advaita Acharya and Sita Thakurani spent more time in Mayapur than in Shantipur. And eventually they were kind of shifted to Mayapur itself, you know, till Lord Chaitanya then went to take sannyas. So they again went to Shantipur. And when Lord Chaitanya left his home for taking sannyas, and the news spread, so when she heard, so she actually was so much affected and aggrieved that for 4 days she fasted, and she was just as if, you know, she just fell down and was just lying in, you know, grieving that Lord Chaitanya has left and taken sannyas. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the pretext of going to Vrindavan, he was directed by Nityanand Prabhu to come to Shantipur. At that time, Sachi Devi and Sita Thakurani got the chance to again cook for the Lord. And although they were fasting for so many days, they very happily cooked in maternal affection. And we also see that in one of the pastimes that Advaita Acharya enacted to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, that he was also propounding Mayavad philosophy. So again, that is not the primary, you know, aspect of Advaita Acharya's behavior or characteristic. He was just doing that to increase the, you know, the richness of the pastimes with the Lord and to get mercy and attract the mercy of the Lord. So Advaita Acharya was propounding this Mayavad philosophy, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very angry, and he came and he started actually physically beating Advaita Acharya, who was very elderly. And we hear that, you know, at that time Sita Thakurani, she came running and was crying that please leave him, he will die. You know? So we see that, you know, Sita Thakurani had many, many, many pastimes. In fact, when the first time Sankirtan was done, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made many arrangements there, you know, how to do Sankirtan, how to do worship before starting the Sankirtan of the different paraphernalia like that. And also when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, you know, and was residing in Puri, every year all the Gaudiya devotees from Bengal, they would go to Puri for the Rath Yatra. And at that time also, Sita Thakurani would cook for the Lord lunch and invite at their home in Puri. So we see that Sita Devi has a very, very integral part in the pastimes of the Lord, right from childhood pastime and to sannyas pastimes. So today we can pray for the blessings of Srimati Sita Thakurani, that we also get some drop of the attraction and affection for the Lord that they have. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So it's just time is over. But if there is any question, one question we can take. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much for your attention.